Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Guys, what's up? I want to take a quick second to let you guys know that our podcast is supported by Anchor. That's right. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. I'm doing this ad from my phone as we speak. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Evidently, I can't talk. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Now back to the show.
Another episode of the Wash Up Walk-Ons today. As you can tell in the title, we've got another NFL Hawk, another former teammate, a crucial part of that 2015 season. Austin Blythe joins the show out of Williamsburg, Iowa, a true Iowan, a true Hawkeye. It's a very, very good podcast. Sit back, relax. Let's have it. Let's go.
Welcome back, Wash Up Walk-Ons fans. It's episode 122 of the podcast, and today we're back with another former teammate of ours, a guy that I think all three of us looked up to quite a bit, a guy who was kind of just like the adamant professional of the Iowa way from start to finish. He only talked when he had to, but he was really about that action. One of the godfathers to my degeneracy. And unless somebody else wants to lay claim to it, the undisputed heavyweight wrestling champ of Iowa football, Blythe, welcome to the podcast, bud.
Thanks for having me. That was a killer intro.
I told you I had some good names for you.
Yeah, no, it was good. I love the godfather of your degeneracy. That was good.
Dude, you taught me what Ultimate Texas Hold'em was. I didn't know what that game was until you introduced me to it.
Every time I drive by a casino, like the steering wheel just magically tries to turn off.
That's weird, dude. You should get that fixed.
Yeah, no. It's
the GPS must.
Be I don't better. Get a gamble. I don't get a gamble near as much anymore.
So, where are you at? Are you out in? Are you back in Iowa right now? Or are you out in? You're back in Iowa. Okay.
Yep, back in Iowa, riding it out,
just
man.
Hanging out at Legacy Acres and just...
Yeah, pretty much.
Talk to us. Yeah. Talk to me about that. What's that all about?
So it's just a hunting club that my father-in-law, he's been working out there for, 20, 25 years. And a few years ago, the old owner just kind of got tired. He's an older guy, got tired of it. None of his sons wanted to run it. So Kurt, my father-in-law, came to me with the idea and we're like, yeah, heck yeah, let's run with it. So we've been on operation for 2 years now and going into year three.
What all are you hunting out there? Pretty much everything or anything?
It's just birds right now, upland birds. So pheasants, chuckers, quail,
zebras.
I think eventually kind of want to get into like an all inclusive outfit where you're doing deer, turkey, kind of all year round you're hunting something.
Paulson's taking a trip down yet?
Correct me if I'm wrong.
What's that?
Paulson's taking a trip down yet?
They were here in March. Yeah. Yeah.
Say,
Buffelli was probably gone before you guys got there, but you probably know Connor.
Buffelli? Yeah. Yeah. We know Connor. Yeah, so he was our freshman year.
Oh, yeah, okay. Year all right. Well, there you go.
But I was about to say that your property has a who's who of like all pro offensive linemen that hunt there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So
probably Yonda, Sheriff, you.
Yonda hasn't yet.
What?
Here we go with the internet.
No, I'm all good here.
We missed you for a second there.
Yeah, we lost you for a second there.
Okay. Damn. All right. Well, I'm back.
Now, So,
what, is Yonda too busy losing weight to go shoot some birds or what?
I guess. I don't know, Matt. I just said you might have missed it, but he's skinny now. He can walk around and shoot some birds. Yeah. He needs to come out now that he's got some time.
He lost it.
Yeah, he's got
quick.
Like it's insane.
Like you offensive lineman lose it, but it usually ain't 2 months later you're down 50 pounds losing it.
Yeah, he played in the AFC Championship game, which would have been the last week of January.
Yes.
And, by
the end of March, he was like 240.
Yeah. He probably played the season at 305, 300. That's 55 pounds.
Yeah, he did that and shaved his beard. And was like, he looks like a completely different human being.
Yeah, he does.
Have you talked to him, Blythe?
I have. I talked to him. I saw his I saw the interview on the podcast or McAfee podcast. I texted him. I was like, God damn, Yonda, like, what are you doing? And he said that I was like, how'd you do it? And he goes, ride in the Peloton and sit in the sauna, man. That's all I got to do. Bike,
baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know who else is who just dropped a shit ton of weight? You seen Joe Thomas lately?
Yeah.
He was just on the Titan game.
Joe the Titan games with the
Yeah. 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 Like he just looks like he's just all muscle now. He's
my biggest fear is that I'm going to go the other way. I won't just because I'm not going to let myself do that. But like when I'm done, I'm
now
just
Blythe,
like,
you're not a tall guy exactly. So if you go the other way, it's going to be hard to decide which way you should stand up if it's horizontal or vertical.
I know. Like I said, I'm not gonna let myself.
If stuff gets to that point, I know a guy, Tyler Kluver Fitness. We could get you right.
Can't wait.
I'm impressed.
I can't wait for the 20-year reunion of the Rose Bowl team. See who got fat and who got skinny.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be great.
Oh, do we get to do that?
Hell yeah.
Is that gonna be a thing?
There's gonna be some reunion or something. I'm sure.
In 5 years, they'll probably bring us back for a 10-year.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't. If they don't, then I'll be really sad. I'll be
trying to get as many free tickets as I can over here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blythe, you were a decent wrestler in high school, huh?
Oh. You won 3 state titles, right? Is that the correct number?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I'm going to say that's decent.
That's correct.
Did you ever consider wrestling in college?
I did.
Talk to us about that.
I thought I was going to be a wrestler. After my freshman year of high school, I was like, all right, I'm going to be, focusing. Obviously, I was still going to play football in high school, but after my freshman year, I was like, all right, wrestling, I think, is going to be the track for me. Just because football was average. You're a freshman in high school. Like,
you don't know.
You're just not. I mean, it's fun, but it's freshman football. So I had a really good year. My freshman year of wrestling kind of opened my eyes a little bit to what could be. And so I always thought I was going to wrestle. And then obviously I started getting better at football. And then Iowa kind of entered the picture at some point in my sophomore year. And I was like, wow, well, I really love playing football. I love the team aspect of it. And that kind of switched my gears. And the only way I was going to wrestle is if I did both in college. Then obviously I got to my senior year of high school and wised up, matured a little bit and thought about what that might mean as far as my schedule.
Yikes.
And what that would ask of me.
And it would have been so
especially in Iowa.
Yeah, especially at Iowa, because if I was going to do both, I was going to go anywhere else.
Well, if you were going to do both, you were going to die.
Yeah, because wrestling, so football obviously goes till January 1 if you play in a January 1 bowl game.
I mean,
and wrestling's like
you're already a quarter of the way through the season.
Plus, yeah,
you'd
exactly.
You'd have to drop 20 pounds at the drop of the hat, right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have. I was right at the top end of the heavyweight. I probably would have gradually or just naturally lost 10, 15 pounds. Just
because what'd you play at?
I played about 285.
Did you really?
Yeah. That sounds about right.
Yep. Yeah. So, but then you go from end of football season, January 1, and then wrestling goes till spring break. That's when the national tournament is. And then you're from the way our spring ball works, you're going from national tournament into spring ball.
Oh, not good.
That sounds like one of the worst things ever.
Yeah. And so at that point, I honestly thought about doing it after my redshirt freshman year. I was like, man, do I, because that football, everybody knows. I mean, you guys know who've played. You're not playing. You know you're not going to play. You're in the developmental program. You're lifting three times a week during the season. So I was like, oh, shit, this sucks. Like,
yeah, it was way worse than high school football,
like,
dude.
So as a football player, I was here, right? When I, you know, and then as a wrestler, I was already at this point. So, like, I knew that my
– You felt like you were missing out on potential.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, my wrestling level was so much higher than my football level at that point. I was like, man, maybe I should just chase this wrestling dream, blah, 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 try and do both. And – again, I just thought, I was like, holy shit, that would be a long season. It's a long season doing either of them, but to put them together would be the dumbest idea ever.
Do you ever think about that? Do you ever regret not just full force wrestling?
If my NFL career thus far would have gone differently, maybe a little bit. I think it's exciting to think about, or fun to think about, where my wrestling career could have gone, but the way my football career has gone, definitely happy with it and no regrets, really. Yeah,
do you accept the title of the heavyweight champion of Iowa football?
Who else would it be?
I don't know. That's why I named you, man. I had to hear it out of the
horse's
mouth.
Can we get a match between you and Wirfs?
Oh, I would easily.
No. Wirf says that Shooter could put him down right now.
Yeah.
Wirf says no problem. Shooter puts him down.
Yeah. So the difference, you could obviously, Tristan was a good wrestler and he won, but I think the main reason he won is because of how strong and freakishly athletic he is. I mean, I think Linderbaum pinned him at some point during his senior year.
Wouldn't surprise me, because Lindy is a fucking savage.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
Lindy reminds me of you.
Yeah. It's been fun. I've worked out with him a few times, just being back and working out at the university. And he's impressive.
Yeah. Giving any tips from the veteran's standpoint?
From Papa?
Well, it's me and James are usually in the same group. So,
Ferentz,
so yeah.
So Linderbaum better be fucking listening at that point.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a guy that's like, hey, I'm going to give you my advice because I've done it before kind of guy. Like, if he asks for it, obviously I'll talk to him. I'd be more than happy to. But, you know, here and there, if I see something, especially like in a speed work or something, he'll ask me about. And it's, you know, it's fun to talk about, but I'm not the guy that's going to go up and just offer my expertise like I'm the, you know, a wizard at whatever it is I'm talking about.
Yeah. So What did you think? I mean, did it crush you when all this shit started going down and Iowa wrestling didn't get a chance to go dominate in the postseason?
It sucks. It definitely sucks. Like, I think this was by far their best chance to win it since 2009 or whenever they won it last.
Nine or ten.
Yeah. So I mean, I think they were going to win. It sucks, I think, more for the guys individually. Mm. Like Spencer Lee going for number – he's going to be going for number four next year, or I guess what would have been four.
We'll give him the honorary third. He's going for
four. Yeah, no, and I agree. I agree with that. So, I mean, you got Kemmer. Luckily, he got his
year back. But, yeah,
the year back.
A guy like Lugo is like – he's done now. It's like he's going to have the number one seed going in. Then never gets a chance. So.
Yep. So I think that would probably suck more, I think, than – the team stuff. Obviously, they both suck, so it's pick your poison with that.
I mean, luckily, we got a pretty good squad coming back. We'll be the favorites again, so everything goes well.
Yeah.
Nobody gets hurt. I think we'll be up top of the podium in St. Louis in 2021. Get your tickets, folks.
You guys need to go to St. Louis when it's there.
I was going to Minneapolis this year.
Oh, man.
The day before, like, nope, no tournament. I'm like, motherfucker.
Kevin's the saltiest about it.
Oh, I'm still salty about it. I'm never letting it go.
Yeah. Well, you need to go to St. Louis. That venue and just everything that St. Louis has around it, like, it's a good location. It's a good time.
I'll see you down there.
So Austin Blythe is a sophomore, junior in high school, and Williamsburg, Iowa, right? Like, when, so obviously Iowa City's right down the road. When does KF, or I'm guessing at this point, we've heard the story too many times. When did Coach Morgan walk into your high school and start talking to you?
I think it was after freshman year of state.
Okay.
So sometime, I, you know, the first time I met him, I was in a weight, it was a weight lift. Sometime in the morning. I mean, it was in the spring, whatever. It was after.
That's where every offensive line coach wants to meet their offensive lineman.
Yeah. I mean, he shakes my hand. He's like, hey, grab that stick over there and do like an overhead squat, like check it out, you know, hip and ankle mobility, stuff like that. He's like, oh, that's good. That's good. Yeah. But I love Coach Morgan. I am so glad he was my recruiter.
I mean, that's a good thing. Cause sometimes you get these big guys, like they're stiff and they can't move. Like, just do an overhead squat. I'll see if we can work with you.
Yeah. Yep.
So he starts talking to you. When were you officially offered by Iowa?
A verbal offer was, I think, right as sometime at the beginning of sophomore year of high school.
Well, good for you.
And obviously,
yeah, you were a big time recruit, right? You had a lot of stars and shit.
I had four, but I mean, I only
that's
had
a lot of
that's
stars.
So many more stars that than is us. A,
oh my gosh, that's more stars than this whole show combined.
I mean, whether it was warranted or not, I have no idea, but I didn't. I mean, I had six offers, I think. It was like Stanford, Iowa, Iowa State.
Should have gone to
Kansas
Stanford.
State. That was probably my next.
Could have been a Rose Bowl champion.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah. No, I was always going to go to Iowa. I mean, it wasn't.
It was never a question. Were you guys Iowa fans growing up?
Oh, yeah. You know, I was doing my due diligence, trying to be the smart high schooler, exploring his options, but I was always going to go to Iowa.
So.
Yeah. That's the.
Are you big time Jackson Subert fan?
I love Jackson. He's the best.
He's a savage.
This podcast is a big time Jackson Subert fan.
Yeah, I mean, he'd be a good one to get on.
We should get Subi on. The fact that nothing I haven't heard about him getting an opportunity anywhere makes me hurt bad.
Yeah, this just, I mean, that sucks. I'm talking to him about how it's going to affect the season and the team.
Come on, internet.
Look, I mean, I feel like I'm established. I'm lucky I'm in year five right now. Like, the guys who are going to be coming up this year who didn't get a pro day opportunity, like Jackson, some of the other guys that needed the pro day for some exposure, they didn't get that. Right. They're probably not going to get a training camp invite. You know, they might have gotten a mini camp invite. That doesn't exist anymore. I mean, it just sucks. It especially sucks for the guys who did get signed as, like, undrafted free agents or – you know, late rounds or whatever,
because right, they're still missing on OTAs and rookie mini camp and all that stuff. They got to show up day one of camp. They have 5 weeks to make the team. That's it.
Yeah, exactly. That just stinks for those guys, because I was in that boat my rookie year. Like, I was a late seventh round pick. By no means is that a lock to make the roster. And I'm lucky I had that, and those guys don't. And I feel really bad for those guys. And you know, hopefully that. If they don't get a shot this year, they stick it out.
Right.
Like, they can reach
those guys somewhere. That just get signed, like, you're going to need the whole 3 months to sell yourself to make that squad.
You
know what? You dealt the hand that you get, you got to play it. So hopefully someone else can make a roster, make a P squad.
You mentioned it. You were our only guy in the 2015 draft class.
Keeping the streak alive, baby. Let's go.
So I don't know what the number is. It might be like 15 or 18 years in a row that KF has had a draft pick or whatever, and you were our only guy just by the skin of our teeth. I would love to hear, because we have brought you up on this podcast a lot, I would love to hear your ideas and thoughts on why that 2015 team, regardless of the lack of, you know, first rounders, second rounders, was so damn good and so close. And is Blythe the first one we've had on from that class who
he's the first captain,
like,
for sure.
Like, you were yeah, fuck you, Kevin. you were
Canzari.
We Cans, but you know, like, you know, when we talk about that class, it was Lomax, Ott, you, Marshall. Like, what was it like in
Marshall
your spot?
Marshall was not in that class.
Yes, he was.
Who was it?
Marshall? Yes, yeah, he was. Never mind.
Yes,
my bad.
Yes, he was. Yeah, he was. What was it like? Like, what was the feeling as a senior? Like every week we would wake up and another win on the board and just talk and the off season, the Hawkeye
Championship.
I want to
hear about the off season. We get our asses whipped by Tennessee and then like we go back to work in January. What was like, you know, did you guys talk it out as seniors? Like, hey, this is how we're going to run the ship this year or what?
I don't know if we ever really had like a senior meeting, but I think we all, it was in a meeting with Coach Doyle, I think at one point, where we all just kind of decided that we'd been through a range of seasons. Like we were kind of a unique class because we came in 2011, you know, we went 7-5. 2012 was 4-8. 2013 was a good season. That was like Brett Van Sloten,
8-4.
Connor Buffelli, that group, that was 8-4. It was a little bit better. And then 2014, we really underperformed. We had a really good team. That was Sheriff, Donnell, Weisman. You know, the 2015 class, obviously Weissman, yes. So all those guys, but then we really kind of shit the bed, right? So then with all that experience as the 2015 class, we just kind of decided that we were going to, it doesn't matter what our talent level was, what we'd done in the past, we were going to just decide to do things the right way and work hard. And usually the chips fall where they're supposed to fall when you do that stuff. And I think a big part of our success was that Slight Edge book, if you guys remember it. I think we really all bought it.
I don't think we could ever forget it.
Yeah, right?
I mean, ever since you left, it gets brought up every day.
Yeah, and I think it should, though. I mean, there was a lot of good stuff, and I think our class did a really good job of making all the younger guys kind of understand that this is – yeah, buy in and understand that the stuff that we were talking about and reading about was going to help us win. And
you know, it's funny you say, like, hey, it doesn't matter – how much talent we have, we're just going to control what we control and, you know, we're going to do things right. I would argue that was, you know, in my 5 years, maybe the third most talented team that we played on, second, third. It wasn't the most talented team, I don't think.
It definitely wasn't the most talented.
Yeah.
Totally. I mean, like we had one draft pick out of that team that year.
Mm-hmm. And that guy was an asshole.
Yeah. Huge asshole.
No, but
hey, sometimes you got to be an asshole, okay?
No, but you're right. Like, I would argue that 13 team, dude, our three linebackers that year, are you shitting me? Like,
yeah,
we had so much talent. Would you say
D-line that year?
Yeah. Would you say Blythe that there was some amount of luck involved in that year as well? Like, it just so happened that that specific book and that specific senior class meshed together, and somehow that specific group of underclassmen. Just everything just kind of worked. Like there was some uncontrollable component to that year that was just like, it was just our year.
Yeah. And I think that's with really any competition, any level of competition, you're always going to have some sort of luck. But I think we were definitely fortunate to have, like you said, that the meshing of the senior class, the message we were preaching, the younger guys, the coaches, everything just clicked. Like we were firing on all cylinders on the field. I can't remember the only game that really was like a struggle was the Wisconsin one as far as getting things going offensively. Obviously I feel like our defense was on point the entire year. I don't think we ever felt on offense like
Minnesota was a rough game.
Yeah, but the
offense picked us up in that game.
Yeah, and I think that's what made us good too, is that if the defense ever kind of struggled or the offense struggled or special teams struggled, like there were the other phases picked that phase up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was wild.
And the amount of times that Phil Parker has hard carried at Iowa is astounding.
Dude, hard carry. Like, dude, if Phil Parker played video games and was on a squad in Warzone, he's carrying all of the teammates. He's got all the kills.
No, it's like I said, I mean, our defense is, I feel like that's what Iowa football is. Like, great defense and average to good offense. Yeah. For whatever reason, like, that's just what Iowa football is.
Except for now, last year and potentially this year, we're looking at maybe a spicy little dangerous
offense. Little razzle-dazzle in the backfield.
Little danger zone in the offensive side of the ball.
in the whole offense.
I love it, Blythe.
I mean, you look at the wide receiver group now. Did I freeze again?
Yeah, you're frozen. But
did I freeze again?
We can hear you.
We can hear you.
What's that?
We can hear you.
We can hear you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, just, I mean, the skill positions are just loaded, especially at receiver. Like, those top three guys, Brandon Smith, right? Amir.
Smith, Marsette.
There's one more.
Goodson. Yep. Not Goodson, Tracy.
Yes, yeah. And then in the backfield, you got Goodson.
Mekhi.
Yeah, Mekhi. I mean.
Bro.
So I got a question for you. The Paulsons class was true freshman your senior year. They're the true freshman of that 2015
yep.
team. You no longer have played with anyone in the locker room. What does that feel like? Because the further we get out, it's like, man, okay, we get out. Okay, like I know everybody on the team. Another year out, it's like, okay, I know most of the team. Now we're like, you know, we know like maybe a quarter of the guys on the team now.
Yeah, I started working out last summer when, you know, the Paulsons and Brady Ross and those guys were starting. I think those were about the only three guys left on offense when we started the summer going into this last season. Mm-hmm. It's like, holy shit, this season's over and I don't know anybody.
Yeah, it's like, start looking around. Like, I don't know any of these.
Yeah, I said to Coach Doyle this spring, I was like, wow, like I'm thinking about it. This spring starts my 10th year in the Iowa weight room.
Wow. God damn.
Yeah.
Lucky guy.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
mean,
yeah, definitely very lucky to be able to say that, but like it just makes me feel really old.
How old are you? You're 28?
I'm gonna be 28 in a few weeks.
Wow.
28 and just had the second kid,
yep.
correct?
Yep. You're
a real like a fucking real ass adult over there.
Like, here's
what I want to be
now.
Oh yeah.
What
of a time that I felt like your child, Blythe. We were, you remember in 2014, we were at the Hawks. We were at the Hawk Slayer Bowl being good little degenerates on the gambling boat in the Gulf of Mexico, in the Gulf. And,
No, you're in.
Yeah. I think so. We went out the Atlantic side, I think. Right. Cause we were in Jacksonville.
That's where Jacksonville is at. You're on the
yeah. I'm tripping. I was thinking where Florida State's at. I was thinking Tallahassee, but yeah. We went whatever in the ocean, and we got back after curfew, bro. And thank God I was with you and Louie because I would have been dead. I would have been the dude that KF talked about in the team meetings. But I was with y'all, and I was just.
You know who else is with us? Is Weissman.
Really?
Oh yeah. You can't. Yeah, those guys came.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I think I ended up winning money. So I mean, that made it even better. But like, we were out there, like no cell phone service, nothing. Like, so when we got there, we're like, oh shit.
Well, that was Drake's one of two nights where Drake barely made it back in time because Drake and I went. We're so stupid, dude.
I'm so stupid.
You guys went to go do a CrossFit
We went and found a CrossFit gym that was like 45 minutes away across this like water passageway where you could only take a trolley. And then the trolley shut down.
Where are we talking? Like
Drake and I.
In Jacksonville. Okay. Same trip.
Because there was this CrossFit gym that like Dylan Martin, the trainer at the time, the athletic trainer.
Yeah.
He had found this and knew these people. He's like, dude, we can go work out there. And I was like, fuck yeah, let's go do it, man. And that was like when I was still like making poor decisions and like not slight edge. And we barely made it back on curfew that night. That was like night number two.
I hurt myself doing the CrossFit workout.
Yeah, it was stupid as fuck.
Dude, you almost had two strikes in 1 week?
Dude, in the same week. In a game I wasn't even.
Dude, KF would have made you get a bus ticket back. He don't fly you back. He put you on bus. That's a long bus ride from Jackson.
Do you know how many hypothetical strikes I have on my fucking unblemished record at Iowa?
Yeah, that's wild.
Unblemished. I skated through that place with a crystal clean record, and it should have been dirtier than black tar heroin.
Yeah.
So wait, Blythe, your freshman year, they sent somebody home from
yes,
Arizona.
Yes, it was
right?
Not a good deal. He
and his pops had like 50 tickets, right?
Yeah,
dude.
Obviously,
not
that many, good. But like it was a lot of tickets.
I think it was like 36 or 37 tickets. Not
It was like, oh man, like I forget the story, but it's like somehow like a taxi driver like finds the hotel that he's supposed to be at and just like drops him off there. He's like unconscious.
Dude, he's smoked.
Yep.
Wow, what a story. Back to your playing days before, well, I guess around that time. Well, no, a little before that time. So you came in 2011. When was there like ever a moment where you're like, ooh, like this is maybe not for me, or welcome to Big Ten football, or did you have any of those?
I had a couple that I read just right off the top of my head without thinking too hard. One was in practice in 2011. It was me versus Mike Daniels. And then in 2012, when I thought I knew my shit and thought I was good and thought I could handle myself, I remember we were playing Purdue. That was the 4-8 year, right? So we were playing Purdue.
So you got early playing time, right? Like your second year.
Yeah. Yep. So I redshirted, then I played the rest of my 4 years.
So you have the same story as me. Okay.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
Dicks, Kluver.
No, that wasn't. Fuck you guys. I was just saying that.
No, but yeah, I mean, that's how it was. It was, and then 2012, playing Purdue towards the end of the season, we were losing games already. Quan Short, bull rush right on my ass.
Like just that. Felt hopeless.
I felt like a little kid. I was like, man, holy, I need to transfer. Like, I need to go play somewhere else.
Like, I thought the same thing my senior year when I hit the linebacker from Purdue. I knew I didn't belong on the same field as him.
Yeah.
I felt the same way.
That dude was massive. I forget his name. He's
played probably played against him, Clay.
Sure. I played him first game of this year.
And here we go with the Williamsburg internet again. Awesome.
Yeah, gosh. Williamsburg, Iowa. I'm supposed to have good internet.
I'm in Carolina?
Yeah, so he played in Carolina this year.
Hey, guys. Yep, it's me again. Got to interrupt the episode real quick to talk to you guys about Spotify. One of the sponsors of this podcast. On Spotify, you can listen to all your favorite artists and podcasts in one place for free. You don't even need a premium account. Spotify has a huge catalog of podcasts on every topic, including the one you're listening to right now. Yeah, we're on Spotify. I don't know how we did that, but pretty cool. Other things you can do on Spotify is follow your favorite podcast so you never miss an episode. Premium users can download episodes to listen to offline wherever you are, and you can easily share what you're listening to with your friends on Instagram. If you haven't done so already, be sure to download the Spotify app. Search for Wash Up Walk-Ons on Spotify or browse podcasts in the Your Library tab. Also, make sure to follow us so that you never miss an episode of the Wash Up Walk-Ons.
Yeah. Not good. Was there, similarly, did you have any welcome to the NFL moments, or did you feel more prepared from high school to college or college to NFL? What did you feel more prepared in?
College to NFL, for sure.
I would have guessed,
There's really ever been like, man, like,
What's it like going up against Aaron Donald in practice?
You feel how strong and explosive he is on every single rep.
Dude, I see him doing like bag drills, like footwork drills. And like, there's no way. What is he, 300 pounds?
No, he's 265 and he plays interior defensive line.
He's only 265? You just gave away his secret, dude. He's listed at like 290.
I mean, anybody who knows weight, like you can look at him and be like, bro, you're not 290.
Yeah.
Then what's Von Miller really?
He's probably 255.
No 250. Way. If Aaron Donald's thick ass is 265,
he's not that tall. Yeah, that's his thing.
Donald's
right?
only like 6'1".
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So I mean, if he's like 6'6", like then yeah, he's got the frame.
Well, he's got abs, dude.
It's insane. I mean,
well, yeah, like he's got like the fastest feet I've ever seen in a defensive line.
You've played with, and the crazy thing is, you've played with the offensive player of the year and practiced against the defensive player of the year for literally your entire career.
Yeah, yeah, I've been lucky to have a lot of great teammates, and I am glad I am on Aaron's team. Let me tell you.
Yeah,
how's our boy Gervas doing out there?
He's doing good. You know, I think he.
No, 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 no. That we don't do that in this show. We talk shit about Gervas. Yeah.
Honestly,
all right. Well, it's been great having you, Blythe. That was awesome.
All right, it's good. No, I'm sorry.
Good. I know he's been called Gervais a lot.
Yep. Well, that's
Gervais. Yeah. Gervais.
I don't know how much he hates that.
Jervis.
No. Yep, Jervis. No, he's been doing good. I think he's kind of hit the lottery as far as like when he came to the league, because I feel like just the nature of how his season went last year, like he's probably a cut candidate. Like, let's be honest. I mean, that's just what the NFL is.
He's a white safety. He's always a cut candidate.
Yeah. I mean, he's done great on special teams, so that helps him. But what also helps him is the fact that all these undrafted free agent guys that were him last year don't have the opportunity.
Yeah, Gervais really did hit the lottery, bro. Like,
he hit the lottery, dude.
I mean,
Gervais's life story is a whole lot of him hitting the fucking lottery. Yeah.
What a guy. What a fucking guy.
And I mean, obviously he works hard too, right? But I mean, he's definitely like had a few breaks, as did I. I mean, I probably shouldn't have been on a roster in Indianapolis. A roster, like a lot of teams carry that, you know, not many people at one point. So I think it's working in his favor, but it's fun having a Hawkeye out there.
Yeah, for you, what was the transition from being like a late round draft pick guy, like, you know, like question like, hey, am I going to make the roster, to becoming a starter?
Honestly, I think Iowa's prepared me more for that than anything else. Like, just the path that I took to playing games in the NFL, like nose to the grindstone, always work. You're lifting hard, you're running hard, you're practicing hard. Cause a lot of guys like, you know, jog around and practice. That's not like a 100% go, but like, I feel like at Iowa, if you're not practicing with that intent, as far as like those are game reps, then it's not going to work out. And I feel like a lot of people in the NFL who are a lot more talented that get by on talent don't do that. And I think I've kind of hung my hat on that a little bit, and that's just how I've kind of climbed the ladder, I guess. Yeah. I don't know, for lack of a better term.
I wish I could skate by on talent. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Right?
Best. Dude, I'm so,
some guys be a whole lot
not
easier.
Talented in everything.
Yeah. I mean, but that's another thing. Like, I thought I was fairly talented, athletic, whatever. You get to the NFL, and I mean, geez, I'm probably
you find out that there's a different breed of human that just
that's
yeah.
Another level.
Because you are an Iowa offensive lineman who's also played at the highest level in the NFL, I want to hear your Mount Rushmore of offensive linemen that you played with and defensive linemen that you played against, because I feel like both of those got to be a cool list.
In the NFL?
Yeah. No, just anywhere. Like, Sheriff
just in general, Iowa, sure,
would probably be on your Rushmore.
Yeah. So definitely Sheriff, obviously. I mean, he's doing what he's doing now. He did it in college. He's going to do it for
He's going to do it for as long as he wants.
Before we move on, is he going to end up being one of the best offensive linemen in the history of NFL? Or
I don't know. There's a lot of good ones. I mean, I feel
Yonda
like
did it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like Yonda, though, he stayed pretty healthy, fairly healthy. You know,
that's a huge part of it.
Who knows? Yeah, who knows? Sheriff might end up playing 13 years, and he has his injuries the beginning part of his career, where Yonda had his a little bit later, whatever. And this will just be like a little blip for Brandon, just like it was for Yonda. And then that's a different conversation as far as being one of the best. But obviously, Brandon is top three guards in the NFL. He's up there. I play with Andrew Whitworth currently, left tackle. He's been doing it for 14 years.
Is he the dad of your group?
Oh yeah,
he's got a gray beard.
Yeah, he shaved it recently. He looks 33 again. I mean,
looks 33 again.
He freaking runs.
I can't imagine 14 years in the NFL as an offensive lineman. What that does to your body?
Yeah, there's days I wake up, I go start lifting. I'm like, man, I feel like total ass right now.
Dude, I felt that as a 23-year-old walking out to practice like during my senior year.
He's gonna be 40 this year, I think, in December.
That's not Jesus allowed. That guy's on something. There's
yeah, no. Yeah. And I think I played with another guy last year or 2 years ago. Played in Tennessee this last year, was Roger Saffold. Uh-huh. He's a great freak athlete, explosive, athletic, whatever. And then, geez, as far as playing with offensive linemen, you know, I think as far as like, I mean, he maybe wasn't the most like athletic or fast or strong or whatever, but I played with John Sullivan 2 years ago. Just absolutely just a wizard in terms of seeing the field, knowing what's coming, being able to diagnose it, change it, do whatever, and then just know the offense too based on like can plays. Like, you know, if we gotta play, we don't want to run versus this look, you know, he's like, all right, I see it, we're running this other play. So I think that's why I put him up there. So I've been, like I said, fortunate to play with a lot of good people. But then as far as defensive linemen I've played against, that's, I mean, that's easy. So I'm going to include Aaron on there because Yeah.
I mean, he was what, the top player in the – voted top player in the league for the last 2 years, I think?
Yeah. I mean, just like I said, I'm glad he's on my team because he is a nightmare. I mean, you got to play in for him every single snap. And he doesn't come off the field. Like, a lot of defensive linemen, they'll rotate. He's on the field for 98% of the snaps.
Yeah, that's
like,
because in between snaps, he talks to himself and he just
bubbles
him. Yeah, dude. It's so fun to listen to.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, obviously he's number one. Fletcher Cox from Philly is another specimen. Akeem Hicks from Chicago.
Sure.
And then, that's one of the biggest human beings on earth.
He is big. He is big. And he's funny. Like, when you play, he's one of those guys that, like, he'll go, like, he'll play hard, but then, like, between the whistle, he's funny as shit. Like, he's hilarious. And then number four, the guy that played this year was just, I think, he's still at the top of his game, but he's been doing it a long time, is Cam Hayward from the Steelers.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's been fun. A lot of good experience.
I always love to hear about those little human interactions on the field. Like,
yeah, it's fun. I mean, yeah.
I feel like it's you know, there's more guys joking on an NFL field than a college field.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, it's because at the end they're all getting paid.
I couldn't imagine like just saying a joke to some dude from Illinois. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I was all the time, but that's because special teams is a joke. So
depends on who you ask, Clue.
Yeah. That's true. some of the long snappers in the league are a fucking joke. I'll tell you that. And I got the ball out the other day, and I zing fucking stinger fucking Tesla missiles out of my hands still to this day.
It's a thing, specialist. Like, I mean, if you stick with the team, you're there because you're going to get paid minimum every year.
Yeah. You're a write-off. You're a write-off on the program or the organization. So it actually fucks guys later on because, like Casey got traded to the Giants, and I don't know the exact reason. We should have him on. I don't know why we've never had Kreider on, but
because you suck.
Yeah, I guess I suck, but I would imagine it's because Casey was about to sign a bigger contract. And if certain teams, you have certain guys in the organizations who don't value long-time specialists like that, I'll be honest, they know that they could get a guy like me who, you know, hangs around 2 years after college and is able to still snap a football just fine for the NFL. Dude, you look at watch some of the snaps. I know nobody does, but there's guys who throw back just mediocre balls that are in the NFL, and it's because these programs, these organizations will find guys who just get by and they can pay $600,000 a year instead of having to pay Casey, you know, $2 million or two, whatever. And then you save $1.5 million and you give it to the quarterback. And that's,
I mean, you look in Indianapolis the year after I left. So the current long snapper came in midseason, my rookie year as a linebacker outside.
Luke Rhodes.
Yeah. And the long snapper that was there, really good, Matt Overton.
Yeah, he's insane. He's one of the best ever. Yeah.
And they moved on from him that spring that I got cut, and they were going to ride with Luke Rhodes. I was like, eesh.
Dude, I follow Luke Rhodes on Instagram. I'll snap ball for ball right now. Ball for ball.
I believe it. I mean,
but Overton was like a true gem. Like Overton, and then he actually, you know, he went to the Jaguars, and he's been with a couple other teams because there are some organizations who will take a guy like that who they know they won't have to fucking worry about. But
man,
there's
way too many games won or lost by 3 points or less to have the operation sabotaged by a poor snap. You know?
In the NFL, it's insanity how many games are that close.
Yeah.
It drives the gamblers wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. It does.
Dude, trying to pick DraftKings lineups when there's good kickers on certain teams is tough. Kickers can be super valuable, so you got to have a good special teams unit.
I found that when I play like fantasy, or I guess in a situation like that, I've never played DraftKings, but you just got to pick teams who score a bunch, right? So like get the Chiefs guy or get the fucking Ravens guy, because they're going to at least kick extra points. Like you're going to get some points there, get a couple field.
What if you take the Detroit kicker who gets to kick in a dome and whose offense can't finish?
Yeah, you probably actually want to do like some deeper research, find the best NFL offense that hates the red zone. Yeah. And then just pick that kicker.
Blythe, do you play?
I think Greg Leggett over in LA has been the best kicker the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Oh, Zerline, you guys have an absolute machine. Yeah.
Not anymore.
He's gone?
Yeah. We didn't re-sign him. He was a free agent as well.
Too expensive, guaranteed.
Yep. That was. I mean,
son of a bitch.
Yep.
Well, Keith Duncan's coming out next year, so.
There you go. Maybe put a bug in their ear.
Keith will never kick in the NFL, I don't think.
Wow.
Why?
He's too small.
Can't do kickoffs. His one thing will be, I'm sure this year, and I fucking love the kid to death, and he deserves to kick field goals, but unless a team will pick him up that has a punter who will do their kickoffs, which some do.
Yep. Pat McAfee did.
Pat did. Unless he finds a spot like that, those... You know, there's too many guys in the NFL that are old school that are like, you got to be able to do both. And Keith, you know, he's going into his senior year. He's never done kickoffs at Iowa. He's a smaller guy. It'll be interesting to see what he can do kickoff wise. But I don't know.
Man, you'd hope that like Coach Woods or somebody would be like, hey, man, give yourself your best shot and start doing kickoffs.
Right. I mean, I think he's gotten stronger.
Who are the other kickers in the room now? Because Shudak's gone.
Shudak is still there.
I thought Shudak was leaving.
So he entered his name in the transfer portal, but nothing ever really came of it, I don't think. So
isn't that a wild bit? Like that wasn't around when I was in college. Like you just could be like, hey, I'm gonna go in the transfer portal.
College is like free agency.
Yeah, it's free agency.
So if I put my name in the transfer portal and I can see what's out there, but then I'll be like, no thanks, I'm gonna stay at Iowa.
Yeah. Essentially. What? Yeah. Jeez. You can basically say like, hey, and because it's like
recruit me. And we'll see if I like my offer better. It's like
now,
TV show on MTV.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah. It's a weird spot because for a guy like Shudak, it makes sense, right? You have fucking the Lou Groza, should have been Lou Groza, in Keith Duncan kicking field goals. And for a kicker, you obviously want, you know, you want to do it all. You want to be the kickoff and the PAT field goal guy. So for Shudak, it wasn't weird to do that. Like, everybody on Iowa understood, like, oh, yeah, we get it. Like, throw your name in the transfer portal. You're the same age as Keith. Go get yours somewhere else. So for him to stick around, there's no hard feelings, right? Like, hey, if you're going to stick around and do kickoffs for us, that's great. But for most people who are doing that, they're probably not so much received as well if they want to stay after they've thrown their name out there.
That's wild, man.
But still, the opportunity to even do so is a crazy thing that we never even had.
Yeah, it's big time that hopefully guys are going to start being able to make some money off themselves.
Oh, yeah, dude.
And they better shoot those checks in arrears, man. They better send me some cash, bro. I'm trying to collect.
Can you imagine CJ, like the guy like CJ would have been
worth? We had a lot of guys who in Iowa, just because Iowa is not a big marketplace, no professional football. Like, there's some guys who could have made some serious money. There were some like Akram could have made so much money when he was at the top. Oh my
God. Josie would have made
Josie
all of it.
Yeah.
Desmond.
Yeah.
Sheriff would have been, I mean, not that he needs it now, but
the Hebrew hammer, Wiseman for Heisman.
Oh my God. Mark would have been loaded, dude. Yeah.
From nobody to loaded as hell in like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. Man, that's going to be so interesting. Cause
I just hope. I was going to say something pretty cliche, but I'm going to say it regards the purity of college football does not get affected.
Well, that's what I was getting at.
And I think that's the trouble. I think what needs to happen is they can make money off their image and likeness, whatever, but not from the institution itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we had a podcast.
That was our exactly solution for it, yeah, essentially. Cause a guy like you, Blythe, you probably would have made some money too, like 4-year starter, Williamsburg guy, every company,
captain.
Every homegrown business in Williamsburg would have been asking for you to be on their advertisements. Right. But for a guy like you, like you're just the kind of person you are, and a lot of Iowa guys are this way, it's not going to change them, you know? Like, you start making money like that, but, you know, it's not – Iowa doesn't shoot 100%. Like, we got some guys in the program who you start offering these deals to, and their ego is going to get real inflated. You know, like, yeah, they're going to start probably acting a little too good for – a couple of their friends or some of their teammates or some of their coaches at some point. Like, that's bound to happen. And so it's it's a
like danger. Like the superstars of college football, like say Trevor Lawrence, you'd be making millions this
can
year.
Can you imagine how much money Tebow would have made? Oh my God.
Yeah. I mean,
dude, I mean, Cam Newton was already getting a house and a car, but all the extra houses and the cars he could have had.
I mean, money complicates things. It's just a matter of fact.
Yeah, I think it's
Do the kids deserve it? Sure. Is it un-American to tell someone they can't go make money? Yes.
Would Drake and you and I have made no money? Now,
yes. Hopefully we can keep it awesome.
Dude.
Anyway, Blythe, back to you, man. 5 years in the NFL now?
Yeah, going on number 5, yep.
How's the body feeling?
Honestly, last year it felt like ass. Like, felt like shit.
Sounds about right.
I tore my ankle week 2, played through that, you know, I was out for a game, played through that the week after, both shoulders went to hell, as far as AC joints, nothing like structurally or anything like that, but just stuff that hurt.
Yeah.
And, so after the season I had both shoulders cleaned up. My ankles was still messed up. I started training in February or March or whatever. And I was doing like pro agility, I was doing the 3-2-1 rabbit chasers, whatever, and I just didn't have it, like no explosiveness out of my ankle, nothing. But now, after I've done some more rehab and just rest, I feel really good. I'm really excited for year 5. I will say, as good as I feel now, I'm not playing 9 more years to get to year 14. Just the fact that was
my next question. That was my next question. Are you going to ride it as long as possible, or are you going to know when you say when your body tells you to say hang it up?
I'm hoping that I can say hang it up before my body needs to.
How do you make that decision though? When the money's so good?
Yeah, I don't know.
This is a serious question, because like you have to believe in yourself that you have big goals or big dreams after football, right? Like there's obviously probably stuff that you want to get into, invest in, create your own company, doing this, that, take Legacy Acres to the max or whatever you want to do with it. You have to kind of trust yourself that you're going to go and create your own life and not have to, even though you maybe could live on your money from the NFL, like, you know, how do you balance that?
Yeah, I think, it does depend a lot on, so I signed a 1-year contract in March. It probably depends a lot on how I play this year, and what kind of contract is offered next March or whatever.
Right.
I think if I get like a 3-year, 4-year contract worth, I don't know what that number is. Whatever that I feel like that number is. Where,
let's talk about the current number.
As far as like my number right now,
I just looked up your contract. I'm not going to bring it up.
Yeah,
It's public knowledge. You guys can go look it up if you want. But we lost him.
We lost him right as we were talking.
So yeah, I mean.
Oh, you're
good now? I'm back?
We got him. Okay.
You're back.
Yeah, I mean, people can look it up if they want to. I think if I were to play on like if I got a 3 or 4 year contract that average what my salary will be this year, I'd probably be okay. You know, if I get two out of the 4 years into it, I'd be like, all right, you know, is this the time to step away?
Right.
You know, hopefully we have another kid by then. You know,
damn, you're trying to create a squad over there, huh?
I'm trying to.
Yeah, Kylie and I we come from a big family, so we always wanted a big family of our own. But
so you have two, right?
Yeah, a lot of that factors into it. Stuff that I want to do afterwards, stuff that Kylie wants to do afterwards. For so long, she's been kind of taking a back seat.
Yeah.
As far as her dreams and aspirations go, taking care of the kids, taking care of me, the house, the dogs, whatever. Anything that's not football, she's taking care of.
She's a legend, honestly.
She is. She is.
I remember she got to come on the bowl trip because you guys got married before that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That was fun for her. Yeah.
That was wild.
It was.
How was that for her? I honestly got to know because we went to the comedy club that one night and she was the only female in the room.
And that, with like 120 that dudes. Was raunchy.
And somebody let that comedian know that that was the thing.
Yeah.
And her and I both got roasted for it.
And how funny is it that you now play in LA?
I think we've driven by that a couple times, honestly, going to like shows at the Hollywood Bowl and stuff like that.
Where were we at, Drake? Was it the Improv?
We're at the Hollywood Improv.
So we were at the Improv.
Yeah.
Because I hear, I always wondered that, hearing Rogan talk and all that stuff. And then like,
So, I mean, all that stuff goes into decision, you know, when to stop playing. Like, and then obviously if my body does take a turn that, you know, my knees start going, my shoulders start going, like, I want to be active. I've got a lot of years to play with my kids, to coach, to do whatever.
Play some golf. Got to be able to play the golf.
Yeah.
What do you want to do? What does Austin Blythe want to do after football's over? Now he had some awesome.
Oh, obviously we bought Legacy Acres. I mean, I want to spend some time out there. I don't know if I ever want to commit myself Monday through Friday to a 9-to-5 job again. You know, where I think Legacy does provide that opportunity where I won't necessarily have to. But you know, I've started dabble a little bit into the woodworking, similar to our boy Eric. So that's kind of a interest and passion. And
Simmons has some awesome pieces, dude.
He does. I mean, I'm envious of what some of the things he can do. So
did you look at his Instagram this morning?
Which part?
He was just ripping his whole landscaping apart in his truck. He just completely destroyed his landscaping. And
yeah, he's like fulfilling that like long haired overall wearing hillbilly dude.
He is. Eric Simmons is a legend.
But yeah, I mean, stuff that I don't get to do because of football. Like that's the stuff that like I want to coach, and I'm only going to coach on the high school level. I can't go to the college level and ask Kylie to, hey, I'm going to go on these recruiting trips. Just like I said,
I'm going to get more busy than I currently
am. Yeah, exactly. So I'm not doing that to her. So I know we both want to coach, pick up all kinds of hobbies. I mean, just keep myself busy.
You guys, the Blythe family is going to be, and do you want to be in Iowa when you do it?
Yep, we're going to be in Williamsburg.
Yeah, dude, you're the fucking all-American family.
But the thing is, the Blythe family is already so known. Like, this is by far the most famous family name that we know.
Yeah.
They're way more famous than the Ferences. Maybe not famous, but I mean, you're talking about.
You're probably thinking more like the Holden family. I mean, that's the name that like people would know. Like, hey, do you know the Blyther Holden name? And they're like, oh, Holden. Like,
okay,
you know, that's my grandfather, and he's the one who had that seed company and
sold it for a zillion dollars.
He sold it for a good amount and
a couple pennies.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's done a lot of stuff with it. I mean, the philanthropy that he's done has been awesome. And so, yeah, that's probably the name that's more known, but you know, hopefully I've kind of made the Blythe name kind of elevate a little bit, but you know, that's not the ultimate goal, I suppose.
What's
I
our man Corbin up to these days?
He's in Arizona with Drake.
No kidding.
Yeah, where are you at?
I'm in Gilbert, just south of Phoenix.
Okay, I think he's just north. I think his place is just north of Phoenix. He's right by
Scottsdale?
No, I don't think I don't know. Phoenix, Scottsdale, Tempe, they're all the same, right?
They're not far apart. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I think he's pretty close to Sean Welsh.
That's okay. Scottsdale area.
Yeah. So I guess technically he's there, I guess. I don't know.
Dang.
Yeah, he just had a kid.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He did. He did have a kid.
God, people are growing
Blythe
up.
Blythe are trying to make your own football team over there.
They're going to have
my brother's got four kids. Now I got two. And then Corbin's got one. And then my other brother's got one. So there's a lot of Blythe grandkids running around.
Wow.
Holy shit. We got this Blythe family.
Thanksgiving's going to cost a fucking fortune, okay?
We're going to have to feed.
We're going to have five turkeys to feed these kids.
All right, guys. We got Austin Blythe and his brothers come to dinner tonight, all right? Because they can't feed them unless they bring them to the training table, okay?
That's good. That's perfect. I miss KF. I miss his voice.
Oh, we all do.
Did you ever work the impression back in, because me and Clue.
My thing, well, obviously everybody knows his voice. He does like, okay, yeah, this is what we got, all right. But then he does like the little, like, all four fingers are as straight as can be. He tucks the thumb around. He's like,
I actually don't know how he does it.
Yeah, I don't know either. Yeah.
That's the first thing I ever noticed when we got into the program, like our first meetings in 2013. I was like, God damn it.
Yeah. It's like he has no dexterity in his fingers. It's like just stiff as a board.
And then the other thing is you're already 90 minutes into a meeting that you don't know how long it's going to last, but it's already felt like Chinese water torture. And he's tapping his sheet of paper. Yeah. You're like, how fucking far down this note sheet are you? Can you give us a little bit of a hint?
Yeah. And then he'll say,
I got a point here. I got three sub points in it. It's like, right. And then another thing about that. Okay. Moving on to our second point. It's like, oh my God, was this only the second point?
Yeah, we're an hour.
That he did was Friday nights before games. He's like, all right, I got this short video. I got this short reel that I want to show you. It's like fucking 15 plays.
It's like, it's like 15 clips.
But it takes an hour to get through.
It takes so long. It takes so goddamn long. And
yeah.
Well, I mean, he's the head coach. He doesn't get to have the clicker in his hand very often. Sometimes he just probably misses coaching. He's like, oh, okay, we got this fucking guy not setting the edge. We missed a tackle here. We got a bad angle here. Cuts back here. We got this guy not running hard. He would have caught him out. So he's like, he gets the clicker in his hand. And he just wants to coach again, man.
Yeah, my favorite reel that he ever did was showing us pre-Stanford, the USC game. Versus Stanford from 2015.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we can't do. All right. This is what we can't do. We can't let Chris McCaffrey get into space, make us miss. And first play of the game.
I'm pretty sure the first play of the Pac-12 championship was the first play of the Rose Bowl. And we practiced that play a lot.
Guess what?
We knew that play was coming. We called the defense for that play. And 75-yard touchdown.
Hey.
He's the highest-paid running back in the NFL. I mean,
he deserves it. Holy shit. How can you tell me?
The man's job description and what he was born to do and bred to do genetically is to get in space and make people miss. So, you know what? Good effort, Hawks. Good effort.
Back to the AF team.
I can't remember the specific reels that he showed us except for that one.
Yeah, the my favorite KF pregame team meeting was the one where he showed us the movie clip. Just cut the lights off, boom, cut them.
Oh man.
Oh, the scene. Now you
that was before Minnesota.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Locked the doors. Now he's can't.
It was a Bronx Tale or something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah, it's like the scene with like the bikers that are
I remember that too. And then as we walked out for that game, there was multiple people, like, you know, everyone has like a couple, like a little hype. Like, there was multiple people as we walked down the tunnel that were screaming, "Lock the fucking doors, baby, let's go." And I was like, oh shit, I'm going to play eight plays, but I don't give a fuck. Lock the fucking doors. Lock them up.
Y'all acting rude. I'm going to have to ask you to leave. Oh, now you just can't leave. So.
And then they just get to... Yeah, that's my favorite team meeting of all time.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was a good one.
All right, well, Blythe, we don't want to take up too much of your time. We scheduled this right now because you're an adult and this is nap time for your son. So sure, I'm sure that ends soon and chaos ensues once again.
All good.
So glad to have you on. Happy that you could give us some insight on 2015. And again, just one more walk down memory lane from a different perspective. Thank you so much for coming on and doing this for us.
You bet. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Episode 122 of the Washed Up Walk-Ons. The Wished Up Walk-Ons? We wish a lot of things, like we had talent. That's it. You'll hear us next week. Hopefully we've got a couple more good guests to fill the content space. So that's it. Walk-Ons out. Peace. Thank you.
everyone. I'm MJ Acosta Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.